K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, American Heritage Bank, Bartlesville, Pawhuska, Barnstall, and the Osage Region, Enterprise Sod Store, and Overlee's Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. AM 1400 and Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. And
good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
You can tell Charlie's in town because I was watching the radar. And it's heading right for us and it stopped.
It split.
And it's going east. Whenever he's gone, it rains like crazy.
Let me tell you, Larry, do we have enough moisture?
We have plenty of moisture right now.
What about subsoil?
Subsoil is in good shape.
Well, here's how I found out. I went out to feed cows yesterday. I went out to feed the cows yesterday.
Yeah.
And they're sinking in almost to their knees, about two-thirds way up from the hoofs to almost their
knees. You need shoes for your cows.
I know. And so
they make little mud boots for cows?
I loaded up the hay with my tractor, pulled out there, and it sank about halfway up the wheel.
My goodness.
It's wet out there.
You need a tractor with tracks on it.
Well, we got them fed and it got out
got
of there.
Got them done just fine. Okay.
And if it freezes up hard enough.
But you didn't answer my question.
They'll skate around then.
Do they make boots for cows so they don't sink in the mud?
No.
Oh. Good idea for an invention.
9 buckle boots or whatever.
That's
those
right,
are.
Yes.
How many buckles are they, Charlie?
I'm not sure. Nine sounds right.
I don't think they'll stand still enough for you to put them on anyway.
No. That's okay.
And they'll probably try to run.
They'll
go clippity clop down the road in these boots.
There's a headquarters in Peoria, Illinois. Maybe you can work with
Kevin. So it's wet out there, but the good news is if we have a zinger,
everything's ready
for a zinger.
Now, some of the plants that you might plant that are in a planting zone 6.5 south, they're going to get a little damage
this time.
Yeah, just some appearance problems.
What about those live oaks?
Live oaks will be fine.
They've got lots of water.
They can take it as long as you have a number on the temperature. They'll do okay.
A what?
A number. Zero. Is zero a number?
They said in math class it was.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, any number above zero, they'll be okay.
Oh, okay.
They can take a zinger, a little zinger.
Well,
they can't take a big zinger. No,
we're
anything
not have that anyway.
Below 10 below zero, forget it.
Well, if there's lots of moisture.
Yeah. Yeah.
That helps.
They look like pipe cleaners next year, but they'll come out of it.
Pipe cleaners.
But anyway, yeah, live oaks.
I didn't get a chance to get my chainsaw out last week either.
I didn't hear it, so no. I guess.
I didn't get a chance to get it out. Yeah. But I did get those roses trimmed back. I got the hedge trimmers out, and I got them trimmed.
Yeah, I got my Julia Child rose cut back real far. Poor thing.
So after this one, I'm going to get stuff out after those crepe myrtles and start trimming them off.
I had pruned back my plum trees.
Your plum jelly's really good from those.
I know it is. It's very good.
It's very good.
So. Yeah, but they're getting a little stringy and a little wild. I needed to tame them a little bit.
Tame them back.
Right. Yeah, because we don't need to make 250 jars of plum preserves.
All right, Larry. There's going to be people with calling you in because they're worried about and want to know about moisture and all that. So here you go. You and Charlie.
Okay, thank you much. 918-336-1400, the telephone number to call if you have a question for Larry. And this is just a preview for those of you who will be calling consumer calls. Only 2 hours of consumer calls this morning because we're going to be joining that OSU broadcast at 11 o'clock.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So if people probably got some new plants Christmas time. It's a time you mentioned amaryllis. You were talking about what was it?
Saccharin ferns.
Cyclamen. That's
one. Oh, cyclamens. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My wife frequently would get a cyclamen from her sister. She didn't this year, but frequently does. That's what it was that I said. Oh, yeah. That's a typical December January plant. Yeah.
Yeah. A favorite flowering plant is, of course, the cyclamen.
Yeah.
The genus is cyclamen, and the species is persicum. Cyclamen persicum.
Okay.
Okay. they are available in a wide variety of colors, and the colors on them are primarily cool colors.
Yeah, whites or near whites.
Near whites or
pinks or?
If you go on the Kelvin scale, they're a little on the cool side. So
okay,
about 2,000 maybe.
As opposed to 4,000 to 5,000
yeah,
that we think
really
of.
There's really no yellow in them at all. They're all, right now they've not really been able to breed any yellow into them yet. So they're all either a neutral red to a cool red to a lavender to almost a blue color. So they're working on it, I'm sure. But there are some constraints on this one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It does not like to be above 68 degrees.
Really?
Yes, they like it cool.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And during the night, they like 44 to 59 degrees.
Huh. Okay.
So you'll have to adjust your thermostat for your cyclamen.
I've got to cut back on my thermostat, but I never cut it back that far.
You don't want to freeze your pipes. But anyway, they'll do okay in a windowsill, perhaps, because it's a little incrementally cooler on a window ledge than it is out away from the house. And try to steer clear of vents. I know a lot of heat vents are put close to windows.
Sure, to compensate for that.
Right. Yeah. You have to warm up that air because that's where the heat loss is. So that's where they put the registers. So you might want to put a deflector on your register so it doesn't get that dry air right on it, too. They don't like the dry air either. And they don't like to sit in water.
Mm-hmm.
They prefer to be in their pot, just happy as a clam in their pot.
Okay.
But in a saucer with some gravel in it or some kind of elevator in it so it doesn't sit in water between waterings.
Okay. So it's a matter of they need the moisture to grow, survive, to photosynthesize, but they don't want to be overly wet at all.
Right. They're a little more difficult to maintain than a house cat.
So. Yeah.
So yeah, they're a little bit of a trouble, but the flowers are really nice, and they'll last for years.
Really?
Yes.
Cool.
I had this a long time ago. I had a friend who had one, and I noticed her cyclamen was in this big old pot, this big old thing. And I said, how long have you had this thing? She said, 8 years. And they had a sunroom, and it got a little cool in the wintertime.
Right.
Which explained why it was able to survive that long in the house. So, anyway, pretty nice plants. They last a long time. They give you lots of color. They don't ask for too much. You can overwater them. So you might consider getting one just to try out. They're not that expensive. You got some at the nursery, too.
You do.
Various
okay.
colors, yes.
Okay. And they are easy. They're relatively small plants, or pots, rather, I assume. You're not going to carry out a...
They're 6-inch pots.
Okay, yeah.
And they have a tuber on them, so they store water very well.
Oh.
So if you forget to water and they look a little droopy, that's better than remembering them to water them too much and getting a little droopy from overwatering.
Yeah.
So if you underwater a little bit, it'll tolerate it, but it will not tolerate soggy, wet feet. And kick in occasional some fertilizer now and then, and you might want to even put it in a bigger pot over time. So you have this this big 55-gallon drum pot, maybe. No.
If you got a cyclamen that lasted that long, I think Larry wants to see it.
Really? That'd be fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they're pretty good plants. House plants in the house, we need to watch for insects and low humidity damage.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed I finally moved my spathiphyllum away from the cats, so it's growing again. They're not eating it. Yeah, they're feasting them.
The cat's disappointed. What are you doing? What are you doing for the cat?
Well, they like cow treats.
Okay.
Or cat treats.
Okay.
That makes me wonder. What if Kevin has treats for his cows?
We'll have to ask him next time he pops in.
But anyway, so it's doing better. And I noticed on my I know it'll come to me, but other house plant.
Uh huh.
I can't remember the name right.
Or what is it? A tall one? A bushy one?
Yeah, it's a bushy thing.
Okay.
But anyway, and it had aphids on it. I noticed. So I just took it outside and washed it down real good with some water and washed them off. And aphids won't last long in the cold.
No.
And it's doing better.
It's like a ficus or no? Okay. Never mind.
It eludes me at this point. But anyway, I'll think of it in a minute. So that's how I got rid of the aphids. And I remember back in college, I had a bamboo plant for a house plant, and it got aphids on it.
But they will grow, not the aphids, the bamboo plants just grow.
I made a really nice plant in the house, and in the dorm room, it got aphids. So how'd this get in here? So I put it in the car overnight to kill the aphids. Because it got down in Georgia, it got down to 25 degrees. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But the good thing about the bamboo plant was it can tolerate that.
Sure.
But the bugs can't. So I just. Took it out of my old Dodge Dart and shook it off and put it back in the dorm room, and it was fine.
All right.
So you know, there are ways to control insects in the house other than using poisonous sprays.
Well, frequently, you've said before, you know, just take it and give it a shower.
A shower works very well. But they houseplants have a little trouble with privacy, though. So
you have to kind of
close the curtain, give them their time, you know. But But anyway, or just take it outside when it's above freezing, or depending on the plant, maybe a little bit warmer, and just hose it off occasionally, just to help keep any mite infestations under control. And there are interior insecticides you could use. The pyrethroids are generally safe. They're safe for your cats and whatever. So it won't hurt them, but it's safe to use in the house. But still, I don't like to use that. So,
okay. So generally, you're much more cat and dog friendly than that. So
yeah.
Okay. 918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936. And we'll continue. And, of course, take your phone calls coming up in just a moment.
It's never too early or too late in the season to add indoor tropical plants and cactus to your home. Right now, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has tropical and indoor plants and a variety of cactus to choose from. For outdoor landscaping, Green Thumb has trees and shrubs to choose from at 30% off. Clay pots are on sale too. And while shopping Green Thumb, be sure to check out their large selection of sale items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road. Open Friday and Saturday only from 10 till 4.
Or 1-800-749-5936. The numbers to get you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. And, of course, with all the December acquisitions, now as we move on into January, need to figure out what to do to take better care of what we got.
Right. And getting back to the outside, though, it is getting time to put down a pre-emergent herbicide in your planting beds.
It's January. What are you putting it down?
I know. It lasts 3 months.
Oh, okay.
January, February, March. February, March. That's generally the time when cool season weeds, if they're not up already, they're going to be up. So it's a good time to consider controlling those, and a pre-emergent herbicide is a good way to do it because they can come in just multitudes.
Yeah.
And then you've got this big old hairy mass you got to pull up, and it's a pain in the neck. So there are organic ways to do that. There's a product called corn gluten.
Okay.
Which works rather well as a pre-emergent.
Really?
Believe it or not, yes.
Huh.
Makes a pretty good pre-emergent, so you might consider that if you want to go organic. Otherwise, just properly use the chemical types, and they'll be okay. They don't impose a problem as long as you use them properly. Don't overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
They can be just fine for your landscape. It's also a good time to test your soil. If you had success with your plants last year, probably get away from having to do that. But if you had a little trouble with some things this year, and some people I know had some trouble growing stuff. And it's either a physical property of the soil or a chemical property of the soil, perhaps.
Okay.
So the physical property is pretty easy to do. You do the drop test.
Right.
And right now, when the soil moisture is up, you take a lot of soil about the size of an orange.
Not frozen soil. Let it thaw out.
Well, it's not frozen out there now. But anyway, roll it up about the size of an orange or so, and then drop it at hip height. And if it shatters, the way the soil is right now, if it shatters apart when it hits the concrete, you're probably in pretty good shape.
Okay.
But if you've got a ball of bread dough and it just sits there, then you got problems with your soil, and that's probably why your plants aren't doing well.
And then it's a matter of prescriptively doing some things to make it better.
Exactly. Add to the soil structure. You look at it and you run it between your fingers. And I don't know how many people work on cars or not, but if it feels like grease in between your fingers, there's not enough organic stuff in it. And probably the sand that's in it. Sand is a good part of a good soil.
That was like a second or third grade science thing. What is soil made up of? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Doesn't go that far.
Well,
golly.
Maybe it was for third or fourth.
And it feels real slick between your fingers,
yeah,
then it probably needs some coarse sand as well as some organic material.
Okay.
It has to be mealy and easy to work and so on and so on. But if it's really heavy and doughy, then it's not good for growing a lot of things, except maybe Johnson grass and hackberry trees.
There you go.
So check out your soil structure and check out your soil chemistry if you're not doing well. Now, another thing to do right now is if you have Mughal pines and other pine trees, it's time to put some pre-emergent not pre-emergent, but systemic insecticide down for pine tip moth.
Pine tip moth.
They become active in February.
Okay.
So you want to get in there. Their metabolism is real slow on these plants, so it's going to take it up slowly. So you want to get it ahead of time. It seems a little early to do that, but things move a little slow in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to get the your stuff down for pine tip moth. Imidacloprid will probably be the most likely thing to use right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably find some Dicistan somewhere, but right now we're going with the imidacloprid.
Okay.
So,
and like, just because plants are partially sleepy, dormant this time of year, it's going to take longer to get up into.
And the problem is not going to happen for another 4 to 6 weeks, but it might take that long for it to get where it needs to be to do the control for the pine tip moth.
Okay.
You can tell you have pine tip moth by sporadic die-off on the tips of your pine trees. A little tip will just die off over here, and the rest of it looks perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little piece will die there, and you go back and you dig it out. Sometimes you can find a little critter in there. It's a larval stage, and it was the egg was laid this fall, and it takes all winter. And when it finally warms up a little bit, and you start to get some growth starting on your pine trees.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they start to become more active and do their damage. So. And it takes a while for that stuff. You can't do it after the fact.
No.
Now, the pine tip moth does trim the tree back a little bit.
Yeah.
Get it out. Come on. Hello.
Sure.
And it live radio. Don't you love it?
It's
but anyway,
wonderful.
It does tend to trim it back a little bit, but not necessarily in the way you want it to be trimmed back. And I've seen a lot of Mughal pines and other pines that have been attacked by pine tip moth that have a lot of character to them.
Oh, okay.
Maybe not the type you want, but some irregular growth.
Okay.
And that does create some interest in the plant. But then again, you don't want the pine tip moth to say, hey, I got a free lunch here. Come on, guys. Let's pounce on this one.
But like most pine trees, we like a kind of a pine tree shape to our pines. We don't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It depends on how they're used in the landscape.
Okay.
Really. Say a Japanese black pine is used in the landscape a little differently than a loblolly pine.
Mm-hmm.
Or even a Mughal pine or a white pine, just because they're growth characteristics.
Yeah.
So if you want a kind of a regular mounding shrub and you pick a Mughal pine, which would be a good choice,
mm-hmm.
pine tip moth can turn your little formal landscape into an oriental garden in no time.
Wow.
So in other words, with the irregular growth.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, you bring in some boulders and whatnot, and then it looks fine.
Put a couple of bonsais in there, and you'd be okay.
Well, not a couple. Groups of three, and you can. It's a composition thing. But anyway, so watch out for that. That's coming up. And fruit trees.
Yes.
It's the first time to start spraying for fruit trees. Now, right now, you might want to use the lime sulfur on your fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
Lime sulfur is... It's kind of a smelly thing. We sell the copper sulfate, which works fine too. But it's a winter cleanup application for overwintering fungus. Things like peaches need that for peach leaf curl. It's been the thing you do every year for peach trees is you put on the lime sulfur or copper sulfate
mm-hmm.
on your peach trees in the wintertime to knock out the, or as much as you can, reduce the peach leaf curl fungus. Now you say, well, who cares about the leaves? I want pretty peaches. But that goes into the peaches too and causes a scab on your peaches. So who wants scabby peaches?
Nope.
So it's time for the peach leaf curl. A little early yet for the dormant oil perhaps on the peach trees. But it doesn't hurt any time in the wintertime to do something about the peach leaf curl. And we're going to have some pretty good weather this week. There's not very much verbiage on that thing.
No, there's not. And so, temperatures, mid-40s for a high, I suppose that's warm enough for what you're trying to do.
That's okay for that, yeah. The dormant oil is a different story. We want to wait until the middle of February for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's earliest time to do that, so you might consider that. It's also time to prune up your fruit trees, too. I got my plums pruned up this last weekend, found all kind of stuff in there, trimmed out, and I still need to work on a little bit, need to shape them up. I did it for physical and structural appearance. They're structural right now, but I need to kind of trim them up because they are kind of in the middle of the neighborhood. So I need to shape them up a little bit. So
is this, and I don't care for either fruit trees or shade trees, is this the best time of year to really either do it yourself or get an arborist to come in and take care of trees for you?
Yeah, it is the best time because you can look at the structure of the tree and analyze the structure of the tree and then come up with a pruning solution based on the condition of the branching, the balance of the branching, and so on, and the structure of the tree too, the angular degree of the branching and whatnot. And the younger you start that, the better you are on the tree. I have a Chinese pistachio in the front yard that was actually growing in the backyard, and I dug it up and moved it.
Wow.
Yeah, it took a half a day to dig through the rock.
That would be a long trip for a tree.
It was a little tree, about knee high, but I had to use a pick to get it in the ground. And it's growing as solid rock, and it's really taken off.
Mm-hmm.
But it grew up, it had a fork right in the middle of it. So I flipped a coin and decided which fork to
the
eat.
North Fork or the South Fork
I cut off the West Fork.
Oh, the West Fork.
It didn't look as well as the East Fork. And it cut him up, and it had a crook in it. But over time, that the tree is working that out. It's straightening up, which is really weird to think of that, but it is. It's working. And now it has a strong central leader on it, although it has a very slight dog leg in it, but it'll work out over time. And a really nice, well-balanced canopy on the top. So it's turned into a real nice little tree, and the color on it this fall was really outstanding. And I don't ever water it.
That's great.
Because it's used to it. So the thing is on that one, if I were to leave that Y in the trunk, it would be a weak one.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have an ice storm or a straight line wind, which we have a lot of those now.
We had one of those about 10 days or so ago, yeah.
It would probably split at that point and do some structural damage to the tree to a point where it'll have to be taken out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about that now because Chinese pistache traditionally has a very strong branching structure when it's proper. And it's fine. It's very healthy.
That's great.
So anyway, that's just kind of a story that you can make a success out of a tree like that. And that's kind of true with Bradford pears, too. And we planted those, and we forgot all about them.
Right.
And there are some in town that have survived. And you look at the branching structure on those. Typically, they have a strong central leader with some branches coming off, and they've survived all these years, whereas most of them have just sort of peeled away like banana peels.
Mm-hmm.
So the point I'm making there is it's very important to trim them while they're young and shape them up. It doesn't take that long.
Okay.
I spent, 10 minutes on it 2 years ago, and that's all I've done to it.
Wow.
So.
Good investment of 10 minutes.
Exactly.
918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936, and we'll continue and, of course, invite your phone calls this morning on Green Country Gardener.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod, Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
The most important feature in a window is trust. So go with a name you know, Anderson, the time-proven choice found in more homes than any other. And Anderson is the brand rated by builders as the most weather-tight, highest quality, and most durable. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson, the most trusted name in windows. See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overly Woods Lumber Company on No Water Road in Bartlesville.
(918) 336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936, the number to get you on the air on this edition of Green Country Gardener. And you shouted out Chef Lara during the commercial break.
Yeah, that's the plant that had aphids on it. I couldn't remember the name.
It's amazing what will come to you at the inopportune times. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, at the nursery right now, we have some staghorn ferns.
Okay.
And if there's any plant that looks like it came from an exoplanet, That's this Taghorn fern.
I was going to say, I don't remember the shape. I'm sure you'll refresh my memory.
It's right there.
Oh, well, you brought a picture. Okay.
It has these, you can see it here on the microphone.
Yeah. But
it has the leaves that come up, and then there's a shield that surrounds the branch, the tree branch on which it grows.
Okay.
And it's a kind of interesting plant, really. It doesn't look like anything of this world, really. It's pretty cool. But anyway.
It's a xenoplant, huh? A xenoplant.
Exactly. Yeah. The fern has really two types of fronds. One is branched, resembling a horn or an antler, giving the fern its name, while the other type of frond on this fern forms a circular collar around the base of the branched fronds.
Okay.
So you've got this upright coming on, and then this shield coming down below it. Now that gives extra stability, and it helps conserve moisture underneath it. This is why the lower one has developed over time. They can be you can get a staghorn fern and mount it on a piece of cork or bark or hardwood such as oak, maple, or elm.
Mm-hmm.
And typically you fasten the basal fronds, or what you're called, onto the slab with a wire or a fishing wire or something, just to attach it to the log or piece of wood on which it's grows. We've got them already done, so you don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
So, anyway, and then you put moist sphagnum moss, Spanish moss, peat moss, oak leaves, or anything around the base and the wood slab, and that, what it'll do is it'll sort of root into that and it attach itself to this piece of wood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how it sticks to the wood. It's pretty cool. The plant needs to be kept moderately moist, so keep a sprayer by.
Ah, okay.
I need to have one in my house, because right by the shower we have a skylight. It'd be a perfect place for one.
Well, sure.
But, oh well, I'm too busy selling them to grow them. Oh, the look, snowflakes.
Conflict of interest, yeah.
Snowing outside.
Oh. Yep, I see a few.
Mm-hmm. And you want to soak the whole structure in water for about 15 minutes every month to help achieve a moist condition, because it will do a very good job of preserving that moisture. With those lower fronds.
In this particular case, at least every once in a while, the soil needs to really get a good soaking.
Needs a good soaking once in a while. You can dip it in a basin of water. And then, of course, if you have the plant in the bathroom, that's pretty easy to come by.
Right.
Or on a warm day, maybe. Or in the kitchen sink, probably a little.
That would work, but you know, very well, yeah.
But anyway, or on a warm day outside, you could soak it with fairly warm water, you know, outside or something, but in the sink might be a good place, or take it in the shower.
Sure, why not?
Ideal growing temperatures for between 60 and 80 degrees Fahrenheit, and so the botanical name is Platycerium, which is translates to broadhorn, or in twice forked by, well, I'm not going to mention that word, but anyway, the species. But anyway, it's the name of it exactly fits the fronds and how it works.
Okay.
So it is an epiphyte. If you're familiar with the term epiphyte, it's they live in the air. Orchids are epiphytes, and some of your pineapple plants, they're epiphytic as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they live in the air. So you don't worry about putting soil around
them. No. Soil may be there associated with keeping it in place, but that's not really what it's there for.
Uh-huh. So, they're native to Australia, Caledonia, New England, and Indonesia. And it does very well in a hanging basket or just a piece of rough bark. Remember, no soil.
Okay.
They do very well in the greenhouse. I mean, they grow like, golly, like redwood trees in our greenhouse. They're beautiful.
That's
great. We
got
some big ones in there, too.
So do you have some there now that people can stop by and take a look at them?
We located a few by the waterfall, and some of them, they're sort of close to the office, sort of away from the real open air and away from the heat from the furnaces.
Okay.
So, but anyway, that's kind of a unique way we heat those greenhouses, too. But that's a different story.
Okay.
So you want to keep them out of the hot air currents.
Yeah.
So anyway, and they really like the humidity. I remember as a child, my grandparents, when they lived in Kansas City, they had a staghorn fern. And I can remember, I must have been just 3 years old, and I can still remember that weird-looking plant growing in there, in their house.
Okay. That's strange. Well, I mean, childhood memories are often things that we associate. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I have two points that is actually from your nursery.
Yes.
And the leaves on the bottom are starting to turn lighter green and then fall off.
Right.
And I've been careful to water it just when it's dry and not to leave it sit in water. But when I've watered it, nothing has come out the bottom. Am I not watering it enough?
Well, poinsettias are native to very, very dry climates. So you might look at the soil and see if it's shrunken inside the pot. Then you might need to put it in and soak the whole thing once, just to let the soil get the water put back into the core of the soil.
Oh, okay.
So, and then you might want to dunk it for a little while and then let it drain, perhaps, to get the soil back in there again. And also make sure it's getting plenty of light. And
go ahead. That's been very difficult these last few cloudy days, you know, to get plenty of light.
Well, that's your fault, Charlie. But anyway, and also warmth is very important. They're not native to a cooler climate. So a lot of light and a little bit of a dry spell between waterings, but not an extreme dry spell.
And, oh, okay.
And some warmth, too.
Well, they're in the living room, so it's warm enough.
Okay, but is it really brightly lit?
Well, they're not near a window, so I'm just relying on my those curly light bulbs.
Okay. Well, yeah. Sometimes the curly ones don't have the spectrum necessary for the plant, so you might give it a light bath now and then, if you know what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Put it close to the window to get it, let it photosynthesize a bit, and it'll do a lot better.
Oh, okay. That's probably what it is. Okay, but yeah, it's probably gotten too dry.
Yeah, it's all better, right. Actually, okay. In the house, it's better if it's allowed to get a little too dry rather than keeping it too wet.
Right, right.
So
okay. Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. Yeah, weather-wise, as far as the poinsettia is concerned, we'll have, sunshine. Really, the next several days will be sunnier anyway than mm-hmm. what we have been having. So,
but as far as compatibility in the house environment, it's probably one of the better ones because they are native to an area.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily low humidity, but warmth, constant warmth.
Yeah.
So if the edges of the leaf are starting to look a little curly...
Well, I think she seemed to be more concerned about the falling off.
Leaves.
Yeah,
the lower leaves falling off, that's typically a sign of either too much water or not enough light or too cool a temperature.
Okay.
So it's, chances are it's not too cool a temperature, it's not too much water, so it's probably just lack of light in her case.
All right. 918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936. Your call coming up.
Hurry into Peter's True Value in Dewey and take advantage of special stock-up prices and all-purpose batteries. Right now, get your choice of Duracell, Copper Top, Alkaline batteries. Choose a 16-pack of AA or AAA batteries for $9.99. Or for $10.99, get an 8-pack of CRD batteries or a 4-pack of 9-volt batteries. Rely on these batteries to charge flashlights, remotes, portable electronics, and more. Get these bargains of the month while supplies last. Peter's True Value. Behind every project is a true value.
It's never too early or too late in the season to add indoor tropical plants and cactus to your home. Right now, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has tropical and indoor plants and a variety of cactus to choose from. For outdoor landscaping, Green Thumb has trees and shrubs to choose from at 30% off. Clay pots are on sale too. And while shopping Green Thumb, be sure to check out their large selection of sale items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Friday and Saturday only from 10 till 4.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and taking your calls this morning on Green Country Gardener. And Larry, I'm sure we get to some other things. Did we finish? We had more on the staghorn fern there, I think.
Staghorn ferns are very easy to grow. They can be grown inside the house,
hmm.
you know, as well as outside. Outside in the summer, they do great here.
Okay.
With the humidity. I know about the humidity. But
yeah.
They do well outside. They just, you know, hit them with the hose now and then. They'll do okay. They prefer indirect or filtered light. They really don't like bright sunshine. So if you've got a wooded area,
mm-hmm.
you get one of these that's attached to a piece already and maybe sticking on a tree perhaps somewhere where it can be watered regularly. And it has this kind of exotic look to it, you know, this tropical kind of look.
Is that typical of most ferns, that they tend to like filtered light or light shade as opposed to bright sunshine?
Pretty much so, yeah. The tropical ferns especially. But yeah. There are some ferns that grow outdoors. A mother fern, for instance, ostrich fern, which I'm pretty sure is hardy here. But anyway, they get this high. Big old things, and they'll grow in part sun just fine, but the soil has to be, they won't do that in clay. No. You might prepare a peat bed for them.
Okay.
And I kind of like large ferns in the landscape. They give you a little bit of oomph in the landscape, a little different look to it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these outdoor ones tend to spread a lot too.
Oh, okay.
So you'll have to keep in mind and have a lot of friends to which you can give them some plants. So anyway, ferns, the staghorn fern is a pretty good house plant. They don't need much. They grow pretty quickly with very little care. And they get the nourishment from the leaves and airborne materials. Lightning storms are real good.
Oh.
Because when a lightning strikes, nitrogen.
You get more ozone.
Nitrogen, yeah. Ozone, whatnot. The nitrogen is made available when it hits. You know?
Yeah.
So they do well in areas with a lot of thunderstorms.
Okay.
So anyway, that's the story of staghorn ferns. So bring them inside, of course, before the freezing temperatures arrive.
Yes.
And before it gets into the 40s, you want to bring them inside. They just don't tolerate those conditions. So it's an easy to grow houseplant.
All right.
Okay. Next.
Yes.
We'll talk about blue spruce.
Oh, okay.
People have a lot of questions about blue spruce. Why does my blue spruce not grow here? Or mine's doing great. Why can't everybody else grow their blue spruce? Those kind of things.
Are they that picky or?
They are a bit more picky than most plants.
Uh-huh.
I planted some here in town, and I do know of one that we planted over just south of the nursery in that kind of that new neighborhood over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing beautifully. It's been there about 8 years, and it's turned into this really big spruce tree. The reason why it's doing very well is it's on a mound,
okay.
If you will.
Yeah.
They don't like to sit in soil. They like to be kind of up above everything. They are not native to the lowland areas. And if you look at the ecosystem, if you drive out west or anywhere, you see the spruce trees on hills. You don't see them in the valleys. You see cottonwood trees.
Yeah.
And quaking aspen and whatnot in the valleys, but you don't see spruce trees down there.
How uppity of them.
So anyway, they're really pretty plants. They get that blue accent color, but it's very important to have the proper environment. They do not like shade. Some people plant them in shade and they fail. They just don't like heavy shade. They do well here in the open sun. And they do not like clay soil. They do like well-drained, almost rocky soil, and they'll do fine if planted in that condition. You just have to keep in mind where these plants, the native habitat of these plants, when you plant them in the landscape, number one, and number two, how big they get also.
Yeah, that's a major consideration. For blue spruce can get rather tall and spready.
There are some variations of the blue spruce, one of which is called the globe spruce.
Okay.
And what they do on the globe spruce is they take a rootstock from a spruce tree and they take a stem section, reverse it on the graft, and then they put a top stock on top of that.
Okay.
And it causes it to grow in a globe shape.
Interesting.
The globe spruce is available in one that's flush with the ground and one that's up above the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So on a standard above the ground. And that's the one. The one with the standard is the one under which you can grow things like dwarf nandinas and other things below it and still have this blue over there. So you get a real nice color progression, especially in the wintertime with the blue spruce and the red dwarf nandinas and maybe some variegated liriope after that. Give you a real nice red or blue, then red, then yellow color variation, right? Lots and lots of color, foliage color in that case, all year round. So. Anyway, it's a good one to consider in the landscape, and I use it occasionally in the landscape when I feel the conditions are right.
Mm-hmm.
If the soil isn't right for a blue spruce, I might go with maybe a grouping of blue fescue or maybe a blue juniper of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
A blue star juniper is another outstanding juniper that gives you the blue color in an environment that's a bit more challenging than a blue spruce can handle.
Okay.
So when you get a landscape design, you see a blue star juniper, you go, oh, juniper, ick. Remember, I planted these in people's yards, you know, 20 years ago, and they're still there. So they're long-lasting plants. You give it a blue color, but sometimes it's just not right for blue spruce.
Yeah, so you find something that will perform the same function for you, but do it differently.
A different size, different kind of plant also. Also keep in mind how big the globe spruce gets. In other words, you want to keep stuff 5 to 6 feet away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's this far.
Yeah.
And you got this little bitty thing over here, and the closest plant is, you know, like 5 feet away. And she said, that looks kind of gawky. Larry, can you do something about that? Yeah, I said, plant some annuals in between. Because in about, 6, 7 years or so, that blue spruce is going to be real close to this plant over here, which is grown also.
Uh-huh.
And then it'll look just fine. But if you plant things real close, it's going to get crowded. And it's going to look just stuffed in there.
Yeah, something's going to have to grow. Or go too.
So give them room to grow, because spruce, as a rule, can get really, really large. Now, in addition to the globe spruce, there's narrow growing spruce, narrow upright.
Mm-hmm.
One is a totem spruce. That's a variety of blue spruce. And there are others. There are a lot of them that are named differently. But anyway, it grows narrow and upright, which is a real good thing at the corner of the house, perhaps.
Oh, yeah.
If you have limited space and you want the blue spruce, you might consider going with a totem spruce. There's junipers that do the same thing. There's one called Wichita Blue Juniper.
Okay.
And I think you just ought to shred that thing up, turn it into mulch, really. I don't like them.
Okay.
Because they get all thin, and they get juniper blight and all this other mess. Makes a problem out of it. So I don't like to use the upright blue junipers.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, the spruce is a bit more formal and doesn't grow as fast. It doesn't tend to split and fall apart and so on. So it makes a good plant.
Okay.
But it has to be in the right place. It can't be underneath other trees. It can't be on the west side of the house, for instance, to get mites real bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's true with a lot of spruces. You find your successful spruces growing on the north or the east side of the house, not on the west. So all these little factors in place.
Makes a big difference.
So it makes a good plant. Up north, golly, north of St. Louis.
Yeah.
When my daughter was getting out of boot camp, we were driving up there, and I noticed an increase in the populations of spruce. By the time we got to Waukegan, Illinois.
Yeah, home of Jack Benny. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, I don't want to imitate Jack Penny, but now, really. But anyway, they were everywhere in the neighborhoods and all that beautiful blue spruce trees.
Mm-hmm.
And they like that cooler climate.
Yeah. Yeah. Around Great Lakes Naval Air Station or Naval Training Center, they have a lot of them.
And the soil is good up there, too. It's glaciated stuff that's been dragged down from Canada, whatever, when they had the glaciers. It's really good soil, too.
We'll take your phone calls and wrap up a Green Country Gardener coming up in just a moment.
The new and upgraded PowerStar tractors from New Holland and Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville offers you the very best in ergonomics, visibility, and efficiency. The VisionView cab provides industry-leading visibility and convenience with two wide opening doors, a flat deck platform, a 10-vent climate system, the Commandeer console, the left-hand power shuttle lever, and more. In short, PowerStar comfort is extra large, but the operating costs are extra small. The precise fueling of the Common Rail fuel injection system in their Tier 4B engines make them ultra-efficient, and the industry-leading 600-hour service interval decreases your cost as well. Jensen Tractor Ranch now offers PowerStar tractors in two horsepower levels, the traditional 75-horsepower model and the new, smaller 64-horsepower model. Both models are built New Holland Smart. Stop by Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville soon to learn more about PowerStar tractors.
If there's a tractor in your future, Jensen's got it. Jensen Tractor Ranch, saving prices guaranteed. Bartlesville's New Holland team.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod expert, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
The telephone number gets you on the air for Green Country Gardener, and we have a caller. Good morning. You're on with Larry Glass. What can we do for you this morning?
Hi.
Hi.
We've been doing some trimming out around the house, and want to know how I can tell dead poison ivy. Some of the kids said that when they'd taken their shirts off, then they ended up with a little bit of touch of it on their arms.
Uh-huh.
So there was some dead vine around a tree that was really thick, about 2 inches thick, with all the hair growing on the side. Is that going to be poison ivy, or is there other things that could be?
Well, there are two plants that share that characteristic. Poison ivy is one, and the Virginia creeper is another. The Virginia creeper tends to have peeling bark on it, and the poison ivy has a more continuous surface on the branch. So if it's got the aerial roots and it has kind of a smooth, almost muscular-looking branch appearance on it, then chances are that's poison ivy. But if the surface...
it's not hairy.
Yeah. Yeah. But if it's got a rougher bark on it, that more like tends to be the Virginia creeper. And they both have a similar root appearance on its trunk. The Virginia creeper doesn't have as much of an aerial root system on it as does the poison ivy. So if it's looser...
What do you think this stuff is that's real hairy vine?
That's probably Virginia creeper.
Take a picture of it and take your picture in and to Larry at Green Thumb and say, what have I got?
Okay.
But anyway, yeah.
All right.
So it when in doubt, it's not good to have vines and trees for the most part anyway. Now's a good time of year to get out of there because they're at the low ebb as far as their toxicity is concerned. So be sure to wear protective gloves and so on when you do take it out. And you just have to cut it so it's basically out of reach, and the rest of it will sort of die off up there. It won't be a problem.
Also, is it true that when you cut sapling trees in the cold weather that you don't have to treat them to keep them from coming back? Does that kill them off?
No, you'll have to use something to kill it. We've got some stuff we actually do have some stuff that you put a drop or two on the stem of what you cut off, and that'll kill it out.
Yeah. Okay, and so, I have some stuff, but does it have to be put on right when it's cut?
Right when it's cut. If you're
right when it's cut.
If you're 30 seconds late, a lot of times it doesn't work.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You do it right away.
Okay. Okie doke. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. That's an interesting problem. I don't think we've had that particular question before.
Poison ivy out of season?
Yeah.
I can identify it by looking at it. And actually, I can pull it off the tree, too, when it's leafed out.
Yeah, well, it's like any other allergy. It affects some people more than others.
Right. I used to be bothered real bad with ragweed, but this year I completely no problems. Okay. I thought it would be a bad year, but no problems this year. It's weird.
We have about 90 seconds left, so I want to get real quick on this call. Good morning. You're on the air with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, fellas, and Happy New Year.
Good morning,
Russ. How are you?
I'm finding a frog hair split four ways, buddy. tell that lady that was going to, that thought she might have something that would be, that she might be allergic to.
Yeah.
To make sure any of those vines, especially anything you think might be poison ivy or poison sumac or anything, that put them in a plastic bag to seal it up properly and dispose of it properly. Do not burn it.
Right.
Because those pores get into the air and it'll cause you more pain and agony than an 8-hour law.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people who are really allergic to it can have bad problems.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing about it is those pores get in there, and you breathe them in, you can get poison ivy in your lungs as well as anywhere else. So, you know, it's extremely important that they dispose of that stuff properly.
Properly.
You know?
Very good
point. Well, you have a wonderful year, my friend, and
you too.
Wish you the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Russ. Appreciate the phone call, as always. Thank you very much for all your help. And
poison ivy, interesting point. This fall it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And Charlie, golly, we're out of time.
Keep
your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Larry.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON Bartlesville and K227CQ Bartlesville.